Blog Talk Radio.
There you go. Mr. Magic, boy. Let me see. There was a song.
Okay, there was a song, boy.
Joseph, Munyon.
Munyon,
going to sleep.
Oh, Munyon's over there.
Hey, Robert.
What's up, Jay? Joseph, Jose, Jose, como esta este?
You got to do better, Joseph.
Yeah, man, you're going to be the Spanish man in the family.
Huh?
You're going to be the Spanish speaker. Your phone too. Your phone kind of look a little weak there. Leon, did you mute yourself? Hey, Leon, did you mute yourself?
Yeah, I talked.
Oh, you did? Okay. We have a lot to talk about today. There's just so too much stuff going on. Stop the world. I want to get off for a minute. For a minute.
Yeah, man.
Are we ever going to have a normal world again?
I don't know what normal is.
Well, I guess this might be the new, you're saying that this is the new normal.
Give me that song about
like that song is Temptation used to say, Ball of Confusion. People moving out, people moving in. Run, run, run with your choking eyes. I want to do what do in the city. The world is a ghetto. Yeah.
All right, man. I don't know what we got to get into. Hey, Joseph.
Yo.
That's better. I can hear you now, man. What a word about it.
I know you're gonna be better than me. You turn all that music down.
Well, I heard everybody else but you, so I figured it was all right. So I figured it was you.
Well, it wasn't me.
Oh, well,
turn down that music so they can hear. They can hear.
That's
hear
right.
Somebody.
How the brothers doing tonight, man? I tell y'all I have to take in a class. Yeah, yeah, we talked about that. Never mind. Never mind.
Damn, Paul.
Somebody taking a class to build a house. That ain't gonna work.
I told y'all I didn't want to talk about it. I'm backing out of that. I'm backing out of that.
You open up, boy. You open up. Step in it.
Hey, before I forget, this is Joseph Gatewood calling you. Talking to you from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Wow.
A proud graduate of North Carolina Central University.
Oh, Lord. They did win one football game, and now they're all excited.
No, of course we're going to. When you going to think we're going to be excited when we lose one? So, yes, we are excited. As our coach, of course, we played on prime time on ESPN on Saturday. Wow. And our game, yeah, we played prime time, ESPN. Saturday.
Who'd you play?
And what it has been due the SWAC MEAC Challenge. And, of course, the North Carolina Central University represented the MEAC. And, of course, Alcorn State University represented the SWAC.
Beat Alcorn State?
We beat Alcorn State. And like our coach said, they said nobody in the United States of America picked us to win.
Not even you, right?
Well, I put it to you this way. I was very skeptical. And I was just hoping that we would make a good showing. But after about the, in the second quarter, about the third quarter, actually, I said that win, lose, or draw, I am very proud of my team. But eventually we did win, and that was the first time we ever beat Alcorn in 6 tries.
Well, go on with your bad self.
And we did it on national television, prime time. Actually, that game drew a larger. See, Notre Dame played, I think Notre Dame played Florida State that same weekend.
Wow.
And, Notre Dame and Florida State played that weekend. And the game between North Carolina Central and Alcorn State drew a larger audience than Notre Dame and Florida State.
No doubt. I know that. I know I would have rather watch you guys than Notre Dame, Florida State.
Everybody wanted to watch Alcorn and NC, North Carolina Central, to see how if they could reach 100. If Alcorn would make it to 100.
Well, like the man said, he said nobody. Our coach said, he said, nobody in the United States of America. The way he said it was funny. He said, nobody in the United States of America picked us to win.
What was the score?
And the final score was 23-14.
Wow. They would have had to score twice to catch it.
What do you say?
They would have had to score twice to win.
Exactly right. They had to score twice to win, and the time ran out on them.
The time
ran out on them. The North Carolina Central. I'll just be honest with you. I was surprised myself, because I was one of the skeptics, and I said, well, I just hope, because I had told Patricia, I said Alcorn State. Those guys out in the SWAC, Southwestern Athletic Conference, that's what it stands for. And, of course, the MEAC, that's the Mideastern Athletic Conference. I said, but those guys out in the SWAC, they normally going to score over 40 points. Because they played A&T in the Celebration Bowl, the last one they had in 2019. And Alcorn scored 44 points. They still lost, but they scored 44 points. And that's what... Typically, those are the kind of numbers they typically put up in the SWAC. But the North Carolina Central, our coach is a defensive-minded coach, Trey Oliver. He was a defensive coordinator at two different schools before he came to North Carolina Central. So his mind is set on defense. And that's what Alcorn offense ran into. But anyway, so we've had the sports update for the night. So what else is going on, brothers?
But Joseph, has the season started everywhere, or you guys just playing a little early this year?
Well, actually, the season has started because, like I said, Nebraska played this weekend. Notre Dame and Florida State played. Now, Winston-Salem State was supposed to play this coming weekend, but that game was canceled because they were supposed to have been playing Pembroke, and Pembroke had a COVID outbreak. So they're going to be on the sideline this weekend, of course. And North Carolina A&T, they're going down to play Furman University. So that should be interesting. I pick A&T to win that one. But that's what's pretty much going on in HBCU football, as far as I know.
Hey, man, speaking of football, what do you think about your boy Cam Newton?
Well, Cam Newton, that boy, I think, he got in that wreck. in Charlotte. He got in that wreck in Charlotte, and a lot of times people don't thoroughly examine those guys, close enough after, such incidents.
Trauma.
I
think he had a little trauma, a little head trauma.
He might have a little head trauma going on because, he started dressing strange and talking strange and acting strange. And I mean, I like Cam, but the boy started acting really kind of weird. And of course,
I think it was no secret when he went out on that protocol, that COVID protocol, the worst kept secret in town was that he wasn't coming back as a starter.
Right.
That was nobody's secret. I wasn't even following it, but I said if he goes out and this guy Mac Jones get in there, I think they wanted to play him anyway. They just look waiting for an excuse, and Cam handed it to him on a silver platter.
Well, old Belichick, he's a no nonsense guy, and he likes to win, and if anything gonna impede his ability to win, he's gonna make a change. And I don't think Cam played too good last year, quite frankly.
Yeah, I was surprised they invited him back. Actually, I thought they were gonna can him last year.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was surprised that a franchise like a New England Patriots picked him up after Charlotte cut him.
But yeah. I think they did.
They gave Cam a chance. They said, look, there's a good chance this guy can come out here and light things up. They kind of went, they what do you call it? They did it. They went on the draw. They pulled the draw. They flipped the coin. They said, there's a good chance this guy can just come in here and just tear the town down. And if he didn't, after the first year, they kind of attributed, I think he got hurt for a while and had COVID another while. And they said, this year, though, we're going to give one more chance. But when that COVID thing came back and that just, they started looking down the road and said, man, this guy just going to have one thing after another. Let's cut this loss right now.
Yeah, because sometimes, when stuff keeps happening, people just get tired.
Yeah, they get tired. That's the bottom line. They get tired.
That's what happened to our football coach up at North Carolina Central. 2 years ago, they told the man, so look, if we hear one more thing about you and your wife, they told him that. They told him, said, if we hear one more thing about you and your wife, you out of here. And of course, one more thing came up. And when it came up, he was out of there. Henry? Huh?
So that one more thing came up, huh?
That one more, they told him. They had a meeting with him. And told him, said, one more thing come up. One.
See Robin Cully over there.
Rev is here, man. The whole gang is here. We got full court press tonight, guys. Curtis Gayward, how you doing tonight, man?
Maybe not.
Put down that Vienna finger, man.
Curtis. Melissa Curtis in Gatewood.
Hey, fellas. Can y'all hear me?
Bro. Hear you, man.
I put things on mute. I was just enjoying you guys' conversation. How y'all doing?
Doing great, man. Thank you for being
here. I did have one question while I was listening. So did something happen to Cam? Was he cut or what? What was it? I heard Robert ask about Cam. What do we think about Cam?
They cut him, man. They cut him. They didn't put him on the bench. They cut him off the team. Boom.
I thought
they might decide. Well, this is what I thought was going to happen. I said they're a little skittish. What they're going to do? They're going to put Cam in there week one, maybe week two. He's going to go in there and make a few mistakes, and they're going to put the Mac guy in there and let him run the rest of the season. That way they can put Cam in the backup and say, look, we tried. That's what I thought was going to happen. But they cut the guy outright, saying, you off the team. You're not on the bench. You're out the door. And they did that yesterday.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, Cam hasn't been any good since they made him lose that Super Bowl that time. When they played, was it the Broncos?
Yeah, you know, wait a minute. Was it the Broncos?
Who was that? I forget.
Was it New England?
Was it New England? No.
No.
You
know, it was the Broncos.
Yeah, when they made him, he made, you know, that game was rigged so bad. It was a shame. You know, they made him lose. I don't know, man. It was terrible. It was terrible.
But that's Cam McKellar. He's out of there. He's out. He's back on the market there. So they're talking about he might come to Washington. I don't know where he's going to end up, man.
I heard Dak is back. Anybody been watching? I haven't been really watching football yet. I heard Dak is back with the Dallas Cowboys.
Dak Prescott.
Anybody keeping up with that? Huh? Yeah.
I haven't heard about him. Will he out for a minute?
Yeah, man. He was hurt, man. They about twisted his foot around backwards on one game. I thought he was out for good, forever. But, so he was out most of the year. I mean, during Dallas, you know, he's supposed to be their franchise quarterback. He's been out. You know, sometimes you get out like that, you don't come back. They either bring – because that's how he ended up becoming a starter. If you recall, he ended up becoming a starter because what was his name? Anyway, he ended up being the replacement of the head quarterback. Quarterback, he started doing so good. You know, but I don't think they really got anybody that was really doing a great job while he was out. So I think he's back. I heard he's back, and I heard he's doing a great job. But like I said, I haven't been watching. But I did become one of his fans because, you know, like I said, I was glad to see him come in the way he did. I think he was like the third string quarterback. And he came in, and he did a great job. Of course, he had a rough year, a couple of years, because they started.
Right.
You know how they do. He was, I think he was probably playing with, what was the white quarterback that he replaced?
It was Romo.
Yeah, Romo. You know, what happened is, you know, sometimes those black quarterbacks, when they come in and replace, like, one of the white guys, they still have that offensive line of protection that the white quarterback had. And so they really come in doing a great job. But then after a while, they start shifting things around. And a lot of times the black quarterbacks do not have the protection that those white quarterbacks have. And so so I think he started losing some of that protection. And he, but in any event, and also they start, you know, certain things start happening. But, you know, when he first started, I mean, he went a whole season without an interception. But,
I think Romo's Latino, though.
Hmm?
I think Romo is Latino. Latina.
I think Romo is white. I mean, he seems black, and I put it like that. But in any event, he just one of the ones I've been watching. But I also was kind of a little disappointed a little bit with the performance of y'all's quarterback who came to Carolina from New Orleans.
Bridgewater.
Yeah. I would expect him to do a little better, even though. I would expect him to take y'all to the level where you need to go.
Yeah, I thought he was gonna do better, but man, I don't know what goes on. These football players, I mean, they'll be up riding high one day, and the next day they just, you know, bottom out. But, you know, there's so much psychological stuff goes on, particularly with a black quarterback. You don't ever know what's going on in that locker room, what's going on in management. Like you were saying, Curtis, Lonely Romo was down at the Dallas Cowboys. They just had the best offensive line in the darn league. Same way with New England. I mean, New England seemed like it deteriorated when Cam Newton got up there. And it seemed like the offensive line got better with the Buccaneers when Brady went down.
Sure did. It did when the black quarterback they had for the – yeah, it sure did. They made sure they put everything around that guy, Brady.
Jameis Winston didn't get that same kind of protection.
No, he did not. And I know he had a lot of potential, too.
Of course.
But you're right, man. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you have to watch what they are doing with these black quarterbacks when they play. The protection disappears, and they don't invest in the protection. They expect them to run and carry on. You know, and you know that's going to open them up to get hurt, to be destroyed. So that's the thing we have to be watching, paying attention to when you're watching these black quarterbacks.
Hey, brothers, we're going to take a quick break right quick, man, and we're going to come back and talk about some. I know Joe's going to talk about. We want to talk about a little bit of Afghanistan and stuff like that. Anyway, man, this is a crazy world out here right now, man.
I think the whole world's addicted to the drama, only attracted to things that bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA. The Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get outraged. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operate. Man, you gotta have love to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
Everybody doing tonight, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Brother Pharrell Radio Show. The number to call in is 215-383-3872. We're going to get ready to talk some sensitive information here. When I say sensitive, there are a lot of opinions about, you know, whether or not the United States of America should even go into different countries, you know, because normally there's some other reason other than what we say it is. Hate to say it that way. Hate to start my conversation off that way, but it's true. And the truth is welcome, and it will set you free. I'm afraid how free it sets you sometimes. I'm afraid of the freedom we get from it sometimes, but the truth will set you free. But we pulled out of Afghanistan, you know. And as soon as we walked out the door, Taliban took over. They say. We don't know. Do we really know what's going on in Afghanistan?
Well, he took over before he left.
Well, well, the truth of the matter is, the United States is still trying. Well, you know, well, when the United States went into Afghanistan in 2001, of course, you know, they went in under the pretense of hunting down Osama bin Laden,
right.
Of course, and disrupting Al-Qaeda and destroying the bases, you know, for which terrorists were operating out of Afghanistan.
And then decided to tear up Iraq while they were over there.
And then decided they were going to attack Iraq. But see, the thing is, see, well, a lot of people don't realize, see, the United States foreign policy is still based on, up until now, well, see, it might be still in the work, but, you know, but the United States was still operating that same old antiquated policy of, you know, the white man's burden. They feel like other nations are not capable of, particularly people of color are not capable of governing themselves. And they have to be the one to come in and show everybody else how to run their country. And, of course, and that's pretty much what the foreign policy of the United States has been centered around. Because if you keep in mind, the United States has never, you know, since World War II, well, except, you know, when, of course, they did attack Yugoslavia. But for the most part, the United States foreign policy has been centered around trying to nation build in countries that are not European, that are not European. So once the perceived goals or the goals that they pretend that they went in on had been accomplished, there was no reason for the United States to be in Afghanistan, because of course Osama bin Laden is dead. And Osama bin Laden been dead 10 years. So, and having said that, I wish President Obama had gotten us out of Afghanistan, because he had the perfect out. Basically, he could have said, "Okay, we killed Osama bin Laden, and so now we're gonna pack up and go home." And I don't think nobody would have been mad at him. But the problem is, so you got all these companies, particularly these weapons companies, that are making money off of wars. And see, that's all that's meant about, is a money-making machine. And I have to take my hat off to Joe Biden, because Joe Biden had the courage that three previous presidents did not have, to take the political consequences and say, enough is enough. Bring those troops home.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think the what's disheartening to me is that this country never seems to have money when we need to fund school lunch programs and take care of our senior citizens and help people who are build. You know, we're trying to build the cities. We've got Detroit over there still. What's that? Michigan, some places in Michigan still doesn't have clean water, but yet we can spend $2.3 trillion on a war.
Right.
That came to about $300 million a day for 2 decades. You know, this war cost,
yep,
about $100,000 per U.S. family, $100,000 per United States family. And this is just the beginning. You know, we just paid off the last Civil War benefit a few days ago. People are still being paid from the Civil War benefits to their survivors and beneficiaries. So that means we've spent about $2.3 trillion to date. But we'll be paying for this probably for the next 100 years. When we talk about people that have who've been injured, maimed, their benefits, death benefits, funerals, psychological help, but if you say, look, we got these kids over here in Southeast D.C. or down in some part of North Carolina, they're struggling to pay to eat a meal. All of a sudden, we got school boards right now saying, well, we don't want to give them free meals. They might get dependent upon it and start adapting bad habits. You know, China hasn't been in a war probably since 19. I can't even think the last time China's been in a war. They have surpassed the United States hand over fist because they've been putting their money in their infrastructure. They spent about 5.6% of their of their gross national product of their revenue in infrastructure. United States is less, is under 2%. And it is abominable what has happened in this country. And we know what the foundation is. It's about, look, I don't want any of my money to go to these folks of color. So I'd rather sacrifice myself and my own than for any money to go to anybody else. It is a, this is, this, that's been, that to me, that's been the footnote of this terrible war. And we spent another $2 trillion on the war of Iraq and Somalia and some other places where we have footprints on the ground. We've been at war forever. And you have our, who's supposed to be our rival, China. These guys never go to war. They're too busy putting their money back into their country, in their infrastructure, in their technology. And I mean, just I'm amazed that this country still has stood. That just tell you how much money, how much wealth this country has. That after all this, we're still standing. Still standing, but the money just so misappropriated. It's a crying shame.
So the money.
And Robert.
Yes, sir.
And Robert, and what you mentioned China. And see, in China uses its military for what it's supposed to be used for, which is defense. That's
protection, right.
The defense department. Don't come here messing with us. And see, and the thing about it, in the United States defense, so-called defense department, but it's more like offense department, they spend more on their military than they're number one in the expenditure of the military in the world. And they spend more than the next 9 countries below them combined.
Hmm.
Including China, and China doesn't spend a fraction of the money that the United States spends on military, but according to most analysts, they said China has a military that's something like what you would see in a Star Wars movie, but they don't use it to go out attacking people. They use it for what it's supposed to be, defense. And that $2 trillion, a lot of people don't realize that, but $2.3 trillion, that's 10% of the gross national product. 10% of 1 year's gross national product that was spent on a war will be accomplished absolutely nothing. And you still got people, crazy enough people, saying that we should continue. Continue for what?
Well, Dwight Eisenhower, who was no liberal, Dwight Eisenhower was actually, he was a right winger. He said, he made a famous speech when he was leaving his position. He said, beware of the military industrial complex. This was Dwight Eisenhower.
Yeah.
He said that you got to watch them. He said, we've been in these endless wars. He said he would like to put an end to these endless wars and watch the military industrial complex. And don't let nobody fool you and think that any of these wars have anything to do with freedom and liberty and fighting terrorism. It's all about oil and resources. That's what all wars are about.
So
every war.
It's all about money. It's all about money.
Yeah.
All about that.
And
go ahead, Joe.
I remember when the United States first attacked Iraq. And I wrote a little essay and tried to get it published. I said, but what the American people don't realize, when the United States attacked Iraq, it was not an attack on Iraq. It was an attack on the American people. I said, because the only thing this money is going to do is siphon money out of the American economy. And of course, and we're the ones that's going to suffer financially because of it. And when I wrote that, I had no idea that they were going to start and do the same thing in Afghanistan. But people be looking at and thinking that these folks are attacking these foreign countries, but they're attacking on us. Because look at the $2.3 trillion. We could end all student debt.
Yeah. That would be like a drop in the bucket.
We could afford health care for all. We can have affordable housing. We can have affordable colleges. Anything that we need, we could have it.
Oh, you see how they...
We will have a... Go ahead, Robert. I'm in the preaching. Go ahead.
But you see how they can run in there and build up a base? They can go in there. Man, they can put up a base in, like, overnight. I mean, roads, water, electricity. Imagine you put that kind of energy into the inner city. Or what we have, hell, you can go out to Appalachia. It doesn't have to be just inner city. I'm just saying the whole country suffers, not just black folks, but everybody.
Right.
Everybody.
Yeah,
if we could drop division, these divisive issues like race and sexism and all these other isms, and then I know it sounds a bit cliche, but if this country just came together and put aside this divisiveness, but that's part of the formula to keep people, you know, for the folks at the top to make all the money, to keep the folks down below fighting with each other, fighting over crumbs. But if they put that aside, man, we could literally have heaven here on earth. We could have streets paved in gold and still spend less money than we spend in Afghanistan and Iraq.
That's right.
I don't say this one thing, and I'm going to shut up, but I have often said, I said, there are too many natural disasters that we have to deal with than going out and creating a disaster.
Yeah,
look at the fires in California, the floods in Arizona and places that hadn't been flooded before. Look at New Orleans right now, underwater. Think about if we hadn't spent $2.3 trillion in a fruitless war, we would have the money to go in and provide housing for those people. We would have the money to go in and evacuate those people if necessary. As a matter of fact, we probably would have had the money to have the infrastructure in that city so it wouldn't have flooded in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah, these folks.
But,
you go to Boeing.
No, I just won't do it.
Guess what you do? You say, look, all right, look, Boeing. Look at the General Dynamics. I know you guys used to making all the big bucks, and you've already paid your lobbyists. We're going to give you that. Well, let's do this. Let's take that energy, that same ingenuity, that same technology, that same ability to get stuff done. Let's go ahead. We're going to keep paying you because now you don't have to be spending this money over here putting all these Humvees over in Afghanistan that's now being driven by the Taliban. You got all these trucks and missiles, and man, these guys just had a field day. They even had Apache helicopters flying over the Taliban parade the other day. But let's just say, let's be for a minute. So look, all right, guys, we understand. You guys want to get paid. Yeah, 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 we get that. But since we're going to pay you, instead of making war, let's make America great like you say you want it to be. Let's take that same ingenuity and let's go out here and start building these roads and these cities and getting these kids from going to bed hungry at night. And let's put America really to work. There's enough work out here for everybody to get a little peace. But now, let's just say, okay, Biden, you did what you were supposed to do. Now let's turn that money around and put it right back here in the United States and put folks to work and get raise the standard of living. You know, we don't have those fast rails that these other countries like France and Germany and China have. We don't have a speed rail in the United States. We are behind the rest of the world. We have for the first time since 1947, the life expectancy of the United States has actually dropped. When it comes to life expectancy, we're not up there in the top three. We're down like number 40 something. We're down there near some of these what we call third world countries. Because of this misdirection of our resources.
Well, yeah, that too.
And guess what? And most of the people that push these wars, guess what they claim to be? Pro-life.
Pro-life and Christians and everything else.
Same crowd. The same crowd.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is not a knock on America. This is a knock on politicians. This is a knock on politicians who put their self-interest ahead of this country.
Yeah,
right now we have a party in this country that has forbidden their members to tell the truth, no matter how egregious it is. Ron Johnson, who's no friend of anybody on the left, of anybody black, he's considered probably one of the racist members of Congress, they're actually beating up on him now because he said that the election in Wisconsin was not skewed. It has become a black mark on your career for the Republican Party for any member to tell the truth if it goes counter to their dogma. That's what's holding this country back. That's why we can't move beyond this craziness that's going on right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right, Lord.
And it's very crazy.
I need to say something too, man. The preacher got to say something here.
Go ahead, brother.
Hey, man, I tell y'all. First of all, you all, I'm going to remind you that your brother, Curtis Everett Gatewood, was attacked overwhelmingly because I was one of the first Negroes to come out publicly and say we should not be going to Afghanistan before boots were on the ground, even before Iraq.
You got in trouble with the NAACP, didn't you?
Man, yeah. I was, before any Negroes were out there saying anything, blacks or whites, because everybody was acting like George Bush was Jesus all of a sudden. They were out there playing Gator, I Walk Through the Valley, Shadows of Death all over the radio. They had flags all up in the church. You could not go anywhere without a flag. Everywhere you went, there were American flags flying while Bush was being a hero because he said he was going to start hunting down people and killing them. And so I was like, wait a minute. First of all, the people who attacked America on 9/11 are dead. They were suicide attackers. They did not mind dying. Who was going after? Who are you going to kill? They drove planes into your building. There were only about five or six of them. They just made you look like fools, went into your own airport, took your plane and drove into your biggest buildings, and now you're mad. You want to kill somebody, and then you want to use this as an opportunity to get Halliburton, war contractors who were working with Cheney was running Halliburton, the war contractors that Joe was talking about. Bush was just—he's an oil man. They wanted some oil. I mean, so they just decided to try to use that while everybody was asleep and waving flags to go out and try to rob these countries and use poor black folk on the front line who's going to be on the back of the line when it's time to get to economics. They're always on the front line when it's time to go kill somebody. They won't kill anybody in defense of black people, but they're always ready when black folk get killed or beat up or murdered, turn the other cheek. Soon as the white man in America say, go over there and sick them, Negroes on planes, dropping bombs, doing all kinds of craziest foolishness. They know they ain't going to kill nobody no other time unless they're killing each other.
That's
on
right.
The plane, going over there killing folk that they don't know. People probably will love them. People probably feeling the same way about the oppressor that those of us who are conscious over here is feeling about the white oppressor. But they go off, die, put all their money, like you said, Robert, we put all of our money in this tent, and these people go take the darn money to make the rich richer from war contracts and kill off black folks who would never be defended by this big military giant that we've been dealing. They do not defend black people with this military. Black folk will go over there and risk their lives and come back here and will not be able to get a job, not even get fair wages. So that's been the case ever since America has been America. I don't know when black folk are going to wake up and say, look, we are not putting our money now, because we have enough black people now, to say we demand that our money put into this blood machine.
Yep.
But we want this money to go toward reparations, toward economically building up our black communities, toward playgrounds, toward early childhood education, toward mentoring programs, toward everything that we need, and we need to stop this foolishness of letting America make fools out of us.
That's right. I agree with you 100% on that, Curtis, because that's exactly what they've been doing. That's exactly what we've been doing. Let this, you know what I'm saying? Like, and the way I've been describing it, I said they treat them, the U.S. military, like underpaid mercenaries. You know, because, you know, mercenaries, they'll go and fight anywhere, you know, for the right amount of money. But instead of the, these defense industrials, instead of hiring their own mercenaries, they just get the United States military to do it for them. Because see, a mercenary, they make about $200,000 a year, probably more than that now. But them boys in uniform, they're not getting paid that kind of money. But that's what they're acting as mercenaries.
Yeah, they had those old contractors, these Blackwater contractors going without murdering people. They were shooting anybody. They shoot a baby, right. They shoot anybody. They were dropping bombs on people's homes. They were just terrible. They went and murdered Saddam Hussein and his whole family for nothing.
Right. That's what
for nothing.
And the thing about it, and Iraq, before the United States attacked Iraq, had one of the best systems of government anywhere in the Middle East. They say if you were in Iraq before the United States came over there and attacked them, if you were in Iraq, say you could go to school all the way up to the graduate level, up to the PhD level, and the government would pay for your education anywhere in the world.
That's right.
And also they say they had a national health care program that was reaching 95% of the population. A national health care program that was reaching 95% of the population. The United States government went over there and tore all of that up. Tore it all
like
up.
Savages. Like savages.
Like savages.
I mean, it's like...
like barbarians.
People, we do not understand what is going on. America's military has been nothing but a big nightmare to the world. And we have never benefited from the military in America. We have never. It has always taken the blood of us, our money, our dollars, our treasure, everything. And it has been misused. It has been abused. It has been a murder nightmare. And it's time for us to decide in this generation.
And like you said earlier, Curtis. A lot of these same black guys, if you talk to them about fighting for rights and equality in the United States, they start getting scared and start making excuses. But as soon as somebody tell them to go to Iraq, go to Afghanistan, go to Vietnam, here they come marching out of tension.
Exactly. Hey, look, the thing about it is, brother, Muhammad Ali and all of them and Malcolm, they were telling us this. They were saying it. They were speaking it. They were living it. They were telling us. Nothing changed. They were saying it right out. Do not. These people have not done anything to us. Why are we going to be sent there to murder, to drop bombs, kill, to use cluster bombs and all these other weapons to murder women? Children. Some of these women are pregnant. Some of them are elderly. Some of these children are just wiping them off the map by the hundreds of thousands. And everybody like, what?
Carpet bombing. That's what you have when you go and drop a 500-pound bomb every 30 feet. Imagine that. Carpet bombing. A 500-pound bomb every 30 feet.
For nothing.
That's over
nothing. I got a conversation with a guy, and he was telling me about he done served this country, this, blah, blah, this, and blah, blah. I told him, I said, look, fighting in the military is not the only way you serve your country.
Exactly.
I said, there's a lot of ways you can serve your country, just like what Curtis is doing. He served the country. What Leon is doing is serving the country. What Robert is doing is serving the country. And there are a whole lot of other people out here that are doing great things and serving the country. And it doesn't necessarily mean putting on a uniform and going 7,000 miles to hunt down and kill helpless people.
Exactly. Yeah, man, this is a great topic. I'm telling you, we need to have it a little bit. But see, black and people are just so blind when it comes to corporations like Halliburton, these war contractors, these people who are getting paid by the billions, these CEOs that are getting paid by just killing people, just murdering people. And we're financing it. Struggling people.
We're paying for it. And all of our kids are suffering. And the same crowd to get out here this week. It's the same crowd will be up here like down there in Texas now trying to figure out a way or pretending like they're pro-life when, of course, and we all know that's not the truth.
But you know what, guys?
Yep.
The reason this thing doesn't move forward and the reason why, see, we're the people that make the war, the ones with all the money that has all the lobbyists and the politicians in their pockets. They will paint us as anti-American for speaking up against injustices that we see. And they will, through their propaganda machine, have their people, have other people to what they do to get them to fight against each other. So people they should be right here with us. And I'm talking about people of all races and all walks of life should be feeling the same way. All we're asking is to make our government accountable. Not spend all our money on wars, not send our people, not send 2,500 Americans over there in Afghanistan to be killed for no reason.
Exactly.
This should not be a partisan debate. This should not be a race debate. This should be a human rights debate.
This is a humanitarian.
Listen what I went through. Look, the time I was standing against the war, and I'm talking about initially, while everybody was waving their American flag, people were telling me that I need to leave the country. People were telling me I need to be 6 feet under. People were telling me I need to support the troops. And you know what I said? I said, the way you support the troops is bring them home to their parents, to their family. That's the way you support the troops.
Let me tell you a little personal incident I had. One of the guys that I had been mentoring with since he was sixth grade, and he was at a North Carolina Central University, and one day he came to my office with a military uniform on, and he wasn't but 19 years old at the time. I said, "Hey son," I said, "What's up? What you doing here?" And he said, "Man, I got an offer from the United States Army saying if I went and served 2 years in the military that it was." So when I come back, they will pay for all of my college expenses, and I won't have no college expense. I said, "Well, what you doing now?" He said, "Well, I've been through training, and I'm getting ready to go to Afghanistan." I said, "You getting ready to go what?" I said, "You getting ready to go where?" I said, "Let me tell you something, son. Now, this is God heaven truth. This is what I told that boy. I said, let me tell you something, son. I said, I don't know how you got into that mess. I said, but you need to figure out a way to get out of it."
Exactly.
I said, you got 19 years old. I said, you go over there messing with them folks over there in Afghanistan. I said, you still got breast milk around your mouth. I said, them boys eat you alive.
Hmm.
I said, them guys been fighting for 1,000 years, and nobody's ever defeated them. And I don't know how you're going to get out of this. I said, but you need to figure a way to get out of it. And that's what I told him. And guess what he did?
Right.
He figured a way and got out of it. He said he just went and told him he wasn't going. And they said he refused a mission, and so they dismissed him.
Hmm.
Dismissed him.
So you told him right.
Yeah, I told him right. I told him you're going over there messing with them folks for nothing.
And like you said, man, they would die to kill. They don't mind. See, the thing about it is they ain't these coward people like over here. I mean, these people, they don't care if they have to die to kill 100. They would gladly kill 100 people by just committing a suicide bomb. They do not care, you know, because they believe in what they believe in to the point where they feel like, you know, again, America shouldn't be there, first of all. That's the first thing people are saying. While people are talking about what problem that he's bringing people home, first things first, you shouldn't have been there.
Number one.
You should have never been over there. And so however you get back, it's all right.
That's right.
Shouldn't have been there.
But them people in Afghanistan, they say they have been fighting for 1,000 years. Keep in mind, the Soviet Union went in there for 10 years and came out with the tail between their legs.
Curtis, Joseph, Robert, I mean, I've been trying to get in. I'm wondering if I'm muted. That's cool. I got a text from a listener, Curtis, and wanted to know what would you have considered to be, I already know the answer, but they want to know what would be the considered the proper response for 9/11, since we are clearly not feeling the response that was made.
Oh, well, I can answer that question, but go ahead, Curtis.
Well, see, the thing about it is we should do what we would normally do to try to get better as a country and not feel like anytime someone of a foreign descent, no matter how few, anytime they do something, we're supposed to go and blow up a whole country. I mean, you have to do what you would normally do. You would try to take care of your country. You take care of your people. You take care. It was not a need for us to go there and try to kill people. I mean, that was just, I mean, so, you know, there was nothing that we had to do to respond to that in a way that is in a foreign manner. Because, again, like I said, the people who did the killing, they did not mind dying themselves. So in that case, what you would do is just do what you would normally do by trying to make sure the country's better, trying to make sure they had better protection around the airports, trying to make sure that they had better security, you know, whatever you would do if a white supremacist would have done it. I mean, we have white supremacists blowing stuff up all the time. They don't go out and try to kill all the white people. They don't go out and try to kill, you know, when they bombed the church, they didn't go out and kill all the KKK members. They didn't go out and kill all the white folks. So I'm just saying, you know, why do we act as if when someone other than a white person does something to people that we have to do something so far-fetched and so gruesome and harmful anyway.
But this, I'm going to tell you what I said the first day after the attack. This is somebody asked me that same question back in 2001, asked me what the appropriate response should be. I said, well, my first response would be to clean that mess up there that they made. I'd have put all my energy and resources towards that. I said, you got to clean that mess up. I said, and the second thing I would do, I would take every necessary action to make to mitigate whatever harm that this type of action would cause to the United States. And just like Curtis said, the people who did it were dead. So you can't kill them. You can't track them down. So who you looking for? But secondly, I would say if there was some type of conspiracy that did that, I would form one of these special units, the Navy SEALs or whoever these special units are, and go in and track down and find out, you know, put your CIA in place and go in and track down whoever did it or whatever organization that did it and take them out, because the United States government has the capability to do that. And the truth of the matter, that is ultimately what happened under President Obama. He put together a strike force. They went in and found out where Osama bin Laden was, if he was the perpetrator. We don't even know that for sure. But they did put together a strike team and went in there and took him out, and they didn't blow up a whole country to do it.
That's what, you know, guys, that's what bothers me most from all this is the human capital from it. Like I say, what we get caught doing is not realizing those are human beings.
Right.
Dropping these bombs on these people have families and children. I mean, if you could just imagine how it hurts when you lose a loved one, and you sit here and we sit here and cheer every time we hear about a bomb dropping and killing people over there. That's just inhumane.
It's so depressing to me. It was just a sickening time for me. Anytime I saw that mess on TV, I just felt like that was the beginning of the end of America when I saw it happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So every time I see a preacher, particularly Billy Graham, every time they get ready to go attack somebody, they invite him to the White House to pray. I'm saying, what you praying for? What you asking God to do? Give me the ability to go over here and kill 100,000 people and my people be okay? Is that what you're asking God for?
Because I think they're asking forgiveness for the sins they're getting ready to commit.
Because people that are so focused on the 2,500 troops that the United States lost, nobody's talking about the nearly 100,000 Afghans that died. Just like in Vietnam, everybody's focused on the 58,000 troops we lost, but nobody talks about the 2 million Vietnamese that died in that war, mostly civilians.
Yep. Killing women and children.
Dropping napalm on them, burning them up, burning up their crops, burning up their livestock, burning up their homes, their schools, their churches, everything.
What was that war about again? I don't remember. Why were they fighting? What were we fighting over?
Nothing.
In Vietnam.
Yes.
Nothing. Just like the rest of them, about nothing. That's going to benefit you and I.
Wow.
But yeah, but another thing too, though, that the church, see, this is what I talk about the church. See, the church, we just have so much hypocrisy with the church. Why wouldn't the church be out speaking against all that murder and death? God is not looking at whether somebody is from Afghanistan, whether somebody's from Vietnam, whether somebody's from Korea. God is looking at human beings, people,
that's right,
his children.
That's right.
To say that you are going to drop a bomb on a Vietnamese and then you act like you're going to be a Christian when you come home or while you're here, you're nothing but a hypocrite. You are murderers. We are financing mass murder.
That's right.
All it is.
Wow.
That's all it is. So, you know, we play these little geographic mess about, you know, that doesn't make you an enemy because you live in Afghanistan. That doesn't make you an enemy because you live in Iraq. That's foolishness. Stupidity. It's evil. And church folk ought to know better.
Yeah, church folks ought to know better.
Don't be talking about no turn no other cheek every time a black person get a racist to murder them, and then you'll go over there and mass murder people who never did anything to you. Never. Ridiculous.
I'm talking about how the Taliban treat women. Look how bad they treat women in the United States.
Exactly.
Look how bad they treat women. Got a president to walk around.
Talking about Saddam Hussein was killing his own people. So you gonna go kill him?
So since he was killing, so you gonna stop him from killing them so you can kill him?
You can kill more.
And talking about the Taliban, how they treat women. You had a president of the United States that walk around bragging, talking about the way he molested women.
Exactly.
You
and they still gave 70 million votes again.
And still won't vote to give, and the same crowd still will not vote to give women equal pay. The same crowd.
Yep.
And the same crowd still don't want to give women the right to choose for themselves. The same crowd.
We had some church up in here today, boy.
You gentlemen up. You gentlemen have really had my phone blowing up tonight.
I'm glad somebody's listening.
I've invited the people to call in.
Next week.
I invited them to call in, but that doesn't seem to be what they would like to do. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Brothers for Real radio show. Robert, we're going to have to close it out. The brothers, thank you, brothers, for your time, man, for your insight, for your realness. We appreciate it, man. Appreciate you being the brothers that you are, the real people that you are.
Amen.
Regardless of what some people think, the world would be a better place if there were more people like you. God bless you, brother. We'll see you next week. Well, let me say this before I go, though, man. You know, family reunion this weekend, right?
Oh, this is going to work. What a food do we owe you?
Down here at the Hollow Center. We're going to try to keep the crowd a little low. We're going to do some virtual. We're going to have what they call a hybrid reunion. We have some virtual going on and some live stuff going on. But the live people will probably have the most fun. I'll tell you that now.
Yeah.
Be safe, boy.
What do you say, Robert?
Be safe, man. Now, be safe.
Yeah, don't be safe. Don't be safe. We're going to safely cut these ribs up and smoke them. Safely fry this fish.
Yeah, what are we supposed to do if we want to come?
What is that, Curtis?
What are we supposed to do if we want to come?
Curtis, come down here. Cash out me about 30 bucks.
Okay.
Hey, man. You sent out a link. You sent out a statement link, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
What's it say? Hollow? The Hollow?
Yes, sir.
Link? Okay.
Some people do like they normally do, show up with money.
You gotta have the money though. Boy, you want not one reel. All right, man, I give you one reel.
Sound like I'm gonna get you sucker movie. Remember that movie? Chris Rock was talking to Cher. Easy. How much is a reel? Yeah, hey man, how much is a pack of reels? No, no, not a pack of reels. One reel. What do you mean one reel? You know, how much is a soda? Okay, what's a soda called?
Hey, y'all, I just got a letter from Livingstone College.
Hey, wait a minute, how'd you get a letter? We didn't get a letter.
What are you saying? You're saying you're sick now.
What are you saying?
I got an invitation from Livingstone College, and it's saying an evening of Campus Green, Friday, September 17th, 2021 time, 7 p.m. featuring classical jazz, gospel, blues, and R&B, RSVP by September 14th, 2021 to Deborah F. Johnson. Remember, your mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. So it is
an evening of what, Joseph?
Huh?
It's an evening of what?
It says a man is a terrible thing to waste.
No, the invitation. It was an evening of what?
Evening on the Campus Green. Livingstone College, United Negro College going. UNCF kickoff. So I'm thinking this to be a fundraiser.
Oh, you're a brilliant man. You're a brilliant man. That's why you get that.
How you get a letter, man? We can get a letter.
Well, you know, people that's in the business of fundraising, they know who to contact when they want to get some money.
They know I'm not going to send them in, huh? Why didn't you send me a letter?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Hey, Robert, I didn't get that letter either, though.
Yeah, they trying to tell us something, Leon.
Yeah.
Joe's opens up the checkbook.
Yeah.
Well, it might be, you know, because I'm the closest one to Salisbury. That's why mine got here quicker. But y'all keep an eye on the mailbox.
You the one that ain't, you don't want that to go to Livingstone. They figure we're going to give it some other way.
That's right. That's it.
Let's go with that. Let's go with that.
That's it.
Yeah, I'm
going
with that.
They know we gonna get
them.
They know Robert,
Jimmy,
Curtis, and Robert gonna get
them.
I'm trying to get
them
that strange money.
There you go. I'll go with that, y'all.
I'll
go with that, brothers.
All right, let's go. Let's roll with that one.
I'll see y'all head out.
Thank you, man. We need that.
I'm talking about it making right soon.
Joe was probably right on the first
one. You guys, if you're coming to the reunion, I would appreciate it, but I'm not going to push it on anybody. Also, we
have
a COVID. Yes, sir.
Is it going to be a gas shortage down there this weekend because of that hurricane?
I don't see it coming at this moment.
Okay. I ain't going to come down and get stuck. I'm going to get back. I'm going to get stuck. That's a pretty good place to be, huh?
Yeah, it's going to get stuck.
I don't know, man. I don't know, Abby. I see y'all on Zoom.
Yeah. Hey, Robert.
Huh?
I think I'm going to use that one, too. I don't have no gas to get down there.
Yeah, that's right. That's a long way to come with no gas. Not having gas. Where is that a hurricane anyway? Is it nearby?
Yeah, that hurricane didn't come.
Made a detour.
It's over, right? You know, it don't last forever. It's over, man.
It's over. What?
I thought.
Okay. Alrighty. Hi, brothers. This has been real.
Somebody has sent me this and asked if y'all know y'all still on the radio.
He's a brother for real. What you talking about? For real. That's a dad for better or worse. The brothers for real or real. For better or worse.
The better or worse.
All right, brother. Speaking of real, I'm really out of here.
All right, brother. Man, let me tell you, brother. It was a long ass being with you this weekend, man. Seeing you briefly, however brief it was.
Yeah, man. It was good, man. Good seeing you, boys.
Hey, man. When you do come down again, go by Lito's and get us some pizza, bro. That's like the one
I'm
going
to do that, man. I'm going to pack up a pizza and bring it down there to you, boys.
You serious, man. This is serious. That's real talk.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's real time.
Y'all don't hear Lito down there?
Nah, I never seen him. We got this.
Lido. How you spelling that?
L-E-D-O.
Sound like a no to me.
Yeah, man. Don't worry about it.
My wife is on the eating committee.
We're going to get Robert a brand one. That's all right.
We got Lido pizza in Charlotte. My wife on it, so I knew I don't.
Well, your wife is not there. Your wife don't know it's not there.
My wife, Steven, saw the calling me.
Man, we had a big Lito's pizza when Leon and Curtis was up here. That thing had roasted chicken on it, spinach, mushrooms, thin crust.
All of them,
man.
Thin crust.
Swiss cheese. Man, that thing was so good. You would eat the box. Ate the box and it came in. That's how good it was.
We can get one of them Domino's.
What's that?
You can get one like that at Domino's.
Domino's got it?
Yeah.
There you go, Leon. You ain't got to come over to D.C. to get a pizza. That's what you're trying to say, Joe?
It's a square, though. It's a square pizza.
Got to be square.
Pizza was square, though. It wasn't round.
Oh, it's square.
Yes.
Oh, no, we don't have no square pizza.
Yeah, that square adds something to the taste, I believe.
It did, man. We out of here, man. We out of here.
All right. Okay.
All right, boys.
All right, man.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Yes, we do love good music.